Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is World Form Zen Fighting Champion John Chong, and you're listening to the AMAA Legends and Pioneers Radio Blog Show with Professor Gary Lee and the Sport Karate Museum Archives, protecting the history, one warrior at a time. Enjoy.
Aloha, everybody. Much mahalo. What an incredible weekend honoring Vinny Kivas and Mr. Norris. We had such a fun time. But before we go on with our show tonight and bring our special guest, my producer, the one that produced the whole event, Hunty Jesse Bowen, to talk about what was going on. Hunty Bowen?
Hey, sir. How are you doing?
Tell us a little bit about this weekend and all the things that happened. Kind of give everybody who didn't get to watch it, but the people that did watch it were overwhelmed with the fact that you pulled this off and everybody had a great time. So go ahead, sir. You got a few minutes. Go ahead.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Well, you know, we realize that we're in a situation with the pandemic. We have no idea when we will go back to anything that looks like is normal. Events are, all of them are up in the air. And so we decided to go with the virtual side. We were already doing it. And, you know, I'm now, next week, I'm going to release a whole program around how to do a virtual event. It's going to be a part of our classroom work, you know, at the AMAA Institute on how to be able to do that. But we had a great event. You know, we had last week, we had over 1,400 people actually visit our website. We actually had, for the evening event, we actually had more people attending the online event than we had at the banquet last year. So, you know, we had a couple of glitches, but, you know, what you're going to compare it to is it was the first event done like this. I know there's a lot of things that we can do to improve it. We learned so much. I had a great team of people from the guys that put together the book. This book is truly amazing, you know, and I'm not saying that because I'm tooting my horn, but I'm saying it because it really is. You know, then what meant the most to me was when Grandmaster Norris and Gina, when they accepted the book and say, hey, let's work together, then, you know, that's pretty incredible that you can put together a product from a small publishing company that, you know, a national person like Mr. Norris will give his seal of approval to. And that's really tricky. And I think our whole team of putting the book together and everything, everything came out great. You know, I hope you guys had a great time with your event. I know everything's different. It was a training session for everybody, you know. But we had a celebrity cast.
I had a great time, and everybody that came in the room really had a fun time. Eric and James Cook actually had a sing-song off, and we're going to have another event August the 7th where we'll have the history generals come together. But we're doing that because of what you did this past weekend. And Gina and Mr. Norris and Benny Akivas and Sarah, I know they're very appreciative of the fact that you pulled this off, and a lot of people are very, very, you know, happy that it all came together. But I do have I have something to pick with you, Hunty Bowen. This is pure love, but I got to say something. On my page, which is 360, someone found a picture of me when I ran a discotheque, 1976. Now I look cool, but people call me, say I look like a gangster, but I was running a nightclub in Greenville, South Carolina, and I don't know where you guys got that picture yet, but it's pretty cool. But thank you so much for this weekend. Now, what else is going on? I think you're doing another edition of the book that comes out in November or something, right?
Right. You know, we didn't get a lot of the – you know, there's a lot of the youth app that did not get a chance to participate. So, you know, we have that we're doing because this book is so important. And people that did not get a chance, you know, we're probably looking at 60 to 70 people that we're going to add to the book. And again, you know, so we're going to be doing that. And we're starting to solicit for those people that didn't make the book, that want to become a part of the book, you know. And, you know, we're going to do something totally different. You know, to get it, to be a part of the book, since our main objective is the book, you cannot buy your way into the book. You cannot pay. The only way you're going to be able to get in the book is because you have enough supporters that will support you to be in the book. You know, we're going to take it away from, you know, well, I'm paying for this here. No, you have to have enough supporters. So when you have now 15 to 20 supporters, then you can be in the book. Because from my perspective, my whole thing is being able to, you know, get the books out in the hands of people. And so it's not about the money that people are paying. It's about what is our readership? You know, what is that? So, you know, this part of going in for that second edition, people want to get in there, then they have to be a part of helping us get the books out. So you can't come up and hand me money. You know, it's about your supporters supporting you to be in the book. It's about the honor factor. So, you know, we don't have to hear about folks, well, you know, I paid my way, you know, I paid my money. But no, how many supporters do you have? And we are working on a second project, and that project we're doing with the guys down in Brazil. We're going to be publishing in December. We're going to be releasing the 100 Masters and Grandmasters. This is going to be a Latin America, North America type of project. We're looking for 50 Masters and Grandmasters, you know, out of the U.S., and then we're looking for 50 or 60 people out of Latin America. And it's going to be a full-color book, glossy pages. It's going to be a hard-bound book. But, you know, the same thing is, you know, it's getting people to support the martial, getting them to support the martial arts. But we're really excited because in Latin America, you know, there's a whole big push. And the book is going to be printed in English, Spanish, and Portuguese. So the book will be, you know, printed in three different languages, and it will be full-color pages.
Well, that's exciting. Well, you know, the Sport Card Museum has been around for 23 years, but I don't know if you know this or not, but I hitchhiked to the very first UF tournament in Ohio in 1974, and I have a good memory of the UF, the United Fighting Arts Federation, and Mr. Norris's group that's run by Mr. Aaron Norris, and golly, Bob, I really am excited about working with them. And, you know, the thing about Humpty Bowen is that people need to realize that we've got the old historians and we got the new historians, the people from the 80s and the 90s. And, you know, it's hard to believe that we're in 2020 already, but this year's gone by real fast. And, again, from all the history generals, that reminds me, you're also working on a history general book. That will be all the history journals coming up, and I don't know when we'll work on that, but that's something that you and Keith Yates are working together on. But the bottom line is, I want to say this publicly. Thank you. Thank you for what you did. Thank you for honoring Mr. Norris. Thank you for honoring Mr. Yekinas, because, you know, they're just really cool guys, and I appreciate what you did. Thank you. And so,
yeah, you're welcome, sir. You guys are welcome. Thank you for your support. And again, you know, my objective and with, you know, because again, this, you know, with Grandmaster Corley's support, you know, which as always since the beginning has been there to encourage me and mentor and help solve problems. So, you know, I definitely have to give him, you know, that due in that with all of his intellect and everything that he does. Right there, a lot of great suggestions and a lot of things that we followed through that hadn't been done before. But you know, Joe Corley, Grandmaster Corley is a very, you know, he's a huge visionary, and so we work.
Are you ready for this? Okay, I was actually one of Mr. Corley's sparring partners when he fought Billy for the first fight, and it was really cool. He beat the crap out of me. But I remember that vividly. That was on the Peachtree School down in Atlanta, Georgia. You know, I made you laugh a little bit. Well, yeah, Mr. Corley.
More than a minute ago. But again, sir, thank you. And thank you for all that you're doing for the martial arts. And again, you know, myself personally and the organization definitely supports what you're doing.
Yes, sir. Well, have a great time. We'll see you in a week, sir. God bless you. Okay.
All right, sir.
Hey, everybody.
Thank you.
That was Hansi Jesse Bowen, the founder of the AMAAF Foundation. But before, you know, I'm excited about this young man. He's taking over the co-hostship of my original co-host, Dean Piles, who will be back after he does the movie, The Coward. But I want to introduce my buddy from Ohio, Mr. A.J. Perry. Hey, A.J.
How are you?
How you doing today? How's things in Ohio? Pretty cool?
Good. We've been having great weather. You know, been doing a lot of our classes. We've been doing them outside. Only about 99% of them we've been outside. And then only if it ever, you know, there's a little bit of rain, we're inside, but, you know, it's healthy outside. Students love it. Have them running
well,
back.
AJ, tonight I've got a great show. I've got the man that was asked by Mr. Robert Young, the editor of Black Belt Magazine, to write the article on Mr. Jim Harrison. He got to meet a few times at my event. You remember Mr. Jim Harrison? What a
great
guy.
Man.
So we're going to. We're going to be talking to Mr. Alan Bravis tonight, but before I introduce him, I got my old friend, my cousin, long-lost cousin, Dr. Reginald Lee. Dr. Lee, are you there?
Yes, I am. How are you doing, sir? How are you doing today?
Well,
Dr.
I'm
Lee.
Great, sir.
Yes,
sir? Let me share this. About 5 weeks ago, we introduced Dr. Reginald Lee and Mr. Rick Shanahan, and the idea they created, which is a hologram idea, which is right now, you can actually try it. We've got a demo out, but as you'll see a little bit later, how the Sport Crowd Museum is working with this hologram. But first, let me bring on Dr. Reginald Lee, who is the creator and one of the founders of this incredible idea. Dr. Lee, take it away.
Okay, thank you. Our excitement continues to grow for SetVR as a self-enhancement training program in virtual reality, whereby you can practice self-defense anytime, anywhere, and when you want. It is portable. You can take it anywhere. When you travel, you'll be able to engage a hologram that will attack you when you least expect it with random attacks in virtual reality. You'll be able to exercise as you neutralize your attacker and at the same time improve muscle memory as well as developing a reflex response to a stimulus. With the ongoing pandemic, when you practice with SetVR, you are practicing actually social distancing, but at the same time, you'll be able to practice and improve your skills in timing, speed, accuracy, and endurance, all so important, as we all know, in determining the outcome of an altercation or attack. We have recently updated our program with metrics, whereby you'll be able to monitor your progress as you practice and as you continue to improve your skills. SetVR, please come and visit, and please continue to visit our website at setvr.app. SetVR LLC is proud to continue to endorse Professor Gary Lee, the History Portal, for the Karate Sports Museum. And if Professor Gary Lee could please also discuss the portal that we have planned for him for SetVR. Gary Lee.
Thank you, Dr. Lee.
Yeah.
Well, everybody, I got to take you into the mindset of what we created. Okay, imagine a village, and this is a storefront village where you can sell T-shirts, vitamins, swords, anything you want. But as you go into these stores, you can literally purchase stuff, but you're picking up clues on what American martial arts, how it was developed, where it came from, and sport karate heroes. And as you pick up these clues, you're getting smarter. You're getting educated. So eventually you work out into like the forest area, and there's a hologram, the hologram that Dr. Lee just mentioned, and it will attack you. And what's really cool about this hologram, the first one could be, it could be a judo player, a karate player, a taekwondo player, it could be a kung fu player, it could even be a Wing Chun dummy, it doesn't matter, but you have to defeat it. and you're getting educated as you go along. Now, once you do this, Mako will appear, or a wisdom warrior, and he'll say, okay, Dr. Lee, are you educated enough? And Dr. Lee will go, yes. Well, you know, it's hard to over-educate a doctor, but Mako will look at Dr. Lee and say, I'm so sorry, you need to go back. So now you go back and you get smarter. Who invented judo? Who invented taekwondo? Who brought Ishinu Karate to America? Whatever. We're going to start out with maybe 50 questions, and our goal is to make maybe 500 questions. But this time, the hologram is a samurai, and it's a samurai with a katana, a wakizashi, and maybe a tanto. And you have to defeat the samurai hologram with a kabuto weapon, like a tampa or sai or nunchucks. So you're getting educated, more education. Now you get done, and Mako comes up to you and says, okay, Dr. Lee, are you educated enough? And this time Dr. Lee says, yes. Well, guess what? He is. And Mako will take him up the steps, the huge gate will open, and the portals will appear. Now, what are portals? These are things that you can go into, like real estate people use them to show houses, the kitchen, the bathroom, the garage. But this time, with the Sportcraft Museum, you can walk into Alan Steen's portal, Mike Stone's portal, J. Pat Burles' portal, Rick Wigginton's portal, and Jerry Smith's portal. Those are the first people we're going to do. And as we go along and get it stronger and stronger, we'll add more questions and add more history generals. I'm so excited about this because for 23 years, Dr. Lee, we tried to, well, we've done it, to educate and authenticize what the Sport Karate Museum is. And it's not just sport karate. It's the martial arts in general in America. And I thank you. The Sport Karate Museum thanks you. The history generals thank you for helping us get the word out more by working with the hologram. So thank you, Dr. Lee. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for letting us endorse your program. We appreciate it so much.
Well, we'll see you next week.
Yes.
We'll see you next week, and we can make a better assessment. And stay tuned, because every time we do an upgrade or we do something stronger, Dr. Lee will get on the air and share with you. So, Dr. Lee,
absolutely.
I'll see you next Tuesday night, sir.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Take care, Dr. Lee.
What?
You too. Thank you.
AJ, I've got a great guy on the show tonight. This is Mr. Alan Burmese, and he is actually real honest with you. All I know is that he wrote an incredible story about one of my senseis, Mr. Jim Harrison, who he lost about a month ago. But Black Belt Magazine asked him to write the story on Jim's career. So we're going to talk a little bit about what Alan has done for all of us. His history has been a military. I know this makes you happy because you're a military animal, AJ. But we're going to talk about that and talk about a little bit about Mr. Harrison. So, Alan, are you on the air?
I'm here. Thank you, Professor Lee. Appreciate you having me on.
Hey, thank you, Alan. Alan, this
hey,
is
Alan.
AJ Perry.
How are you, Alan?
Hello, AJ.
Now,
you know,
AJ's
a
military animal, too. Yes, sir. Go ahead.
I remember this is years ago, but Master Lynn Jackson telling me about a tournament that was in Cleveland Arena in 1966, and Mr. Jim Harrison was fighting there. Lynn Jackson fought Thomas LaPuppet there. Thomas LaPuppet always said that was the toughest match he ever fought, and but he was telling me about that and Jim Harrison fighting in Cleveland.
Wow, cool. Well, we're going to talk about Jim a little bit tonight, but first of all, let's talk about Alan. Alan, now, I'm really excited about talking about your sniper instruction. Tell me about how you got involved with that, and then we'll talk about the martial arts a little bit later, but talk about what you've done as far as the military and your involvement with being a sniper. How cool is that?
You know, I mean, that was one of the highlights of my military. They sent the guy to sniper school before me, and I happened to be outside of the first sergeant's office when he came back, and the school wasn't over. And he went into the first sergeant's office, and I heard, "You quit!" And then everything else that came after that would make this an R-rated show. So the next time a sniper class slot came
out. Well, Alan, I don't mean to interrupt you, Alan, but we are an R-rated show, buddy.
Okay.
This is what we call our show, Parts Unknown, right, AJ? We talk about everything. Parts Unknown,
right.
Well, so don't be shy. Go ahead, buddy.
Well,
talk about it.
We can say the first Sergeant Isaac was not happy. So the next
sir.
Time we got a slot for our company, my platoon sergeant fought for me to go. And I remember the day before I left, First Sergeant Isaac came up to me and said, "You ready for sniper school?" I said, "Yes, First Sergeant." He said, "You're not going to quit, are you?" I said, "Hell no, First Sergeant. I'll come back a sniper." He said, "That's what I want to hear." There were about 30 of us on that first day competing to get into the school. 12 of us made it into the school. Out of those 12, 3 washed out, 6 graduated advanced marksmen, and 3 graduated snipers. And I was number two. I wasn't the honor grad, but I did graduate number 2 in the class, and I was one of those 3 snipers.
Congratulations.
And then later, I was asked to go back as an assistant instructor on special duty. So I wasn't assigned to the school full-time. Only the 2 head instructors were assigned to the school full-time. The assistant instructors, we would work one class, go back to our unit for a month or two, then go work, and they would rotate us, assistant instructors. And so I rotated in as an assistant instructor until I got out of the military.
Wow. That's pretty cool. Now,
that's great.
One of the most celebrated snipers that America knows is, rest in peace, Chris Kyle. Did you know Chris?
You know, I didn't. You know, I read the book, obviously, and he was on my list of people I wanted to meet before he was tragically killed and we lost him too early.
Yeah.
Know Carlos Hathcock, who was a legend in the Vietnam War. And I was able to communicate with him a number of times through the mail and on the phone. The last time I called his house, I was in law school, and his wife Jo said he could not come to the phone anymore. The MS and such had made it where he couldn't talk on the phone. And about 6 months after that phone call is when, you know, he passed away and we lost him. And that was in the late 90s. But he was an incredible, he was a Marine. The book, 93 Confirmed Kills, you know, I have an audio copy
here. I read that.
It's
a good book.
And he was just a remarkable man. I just, utmost respect for him. I cherish the conversations we had. And again, we lost him too early, sadly.
Well, I want to mention another American hero. And we talked about him, I think, last night or the night before. They made a movie about him and his team, Long Survivor. You know who I'm talking about?
Marcus Luttrell, yes. I know
Mr.
who
Luttrell.
He is. I have not met him. I know some people that do know him and have actually a group that I'm going to be teaching this fall, as long as we make sure that event happens. They used to do their event at his ranch, and you know, heard really great things from them about him. And so, but I have not met him personally. But you know, I have respect for every one of my brothers and sisters that served in the armed forces, regardless of where or how they served. If they served honorably, I have the utmost respect for all the brothers and sisters that served.
Well,
you know,
Alan, I want to take my... Go ahead, AJ, go ahead.
My father was a sniper instructor. He was in the U.S. Army. I got all this paperwork hanging up in a big frame downstairs.
Well, that's
so what era was he doing?
World War II.
Okay. So he was back
before
us.
Yeah. It's
sniping. Okay, guys. Listen to me. I'm all just for granted that a lot of people don't know a sniper is. So let's just kind of explain to them. I know that. Well, I'll let you explain, Alan, but you also explain the fact that you have to have what they call a spotter with a explain that. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, a sniper usually works with a team, with a spotter with them, and maybe a couple guys pulling security overwatch for the sniper while they're doing their mission. But, you know, snipers they're highly trained not only in marksmanship. I mean, you have to be an expert with your weapons, but also in field craft. And sometimes, rather than actually using a weapon, a sniper is the eyes and ears of a commander because they can get in and out of places unobserved where others can't. So field craft was a huge part of sniper school, and the part that actually washed more people out than the shooting aspect. It takes a lot. I mean, Eric Allen, one of the instructors when I went through and we became good friends when I was an assistant instructor, one of his quotes was, "You can teach any piece of shit to shoot, but it takes a hell of a lot more than that to be a sniper." And that's so true. It takes more than just shooting.
Okay.
Alan, there's a book, you may have read it, called 13 Cent Killers
about
Marine snipers
in
Vietnam.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a good book. My buddy Ronnie Willoughby's in that book.
And you probably know The Ultimate Sniper by Major John Plaster.
Well, I don't know him personally.
Well, I mean, but you probably know of the book. And I had a chance to meet him because I was a Paladin author along. So I got to meet and associate with a lot of the Paladin Press authors just because of my books and videos with Paladin. But, you know, I did have the opportunity to meet John Plaster. I really respect all of the work he has done.
Alan, I got to ask you a question. A couple of my listeners realized I was heavy on the air, so they had me to ask you this. Did you ever see that movie called Lethal Weapon with Mel Gibson?
Yeah, it's one of my favorite movies. I saw that
a
couple times at Fort Bragg.
The question is, how accurate was that fact that you could shoot somebody a mile or a half a mile away? How accurate was that?
You know, I don't know if he said a mile. I think he was only around 1,000 yards, which at that time with those rifles, that's reaching out to the maximum of, you know, if you're looking at a 7.62 or caliber. Now, with some of the newer rifles, especially when you get into the 50K and some 50 cal, you know, they're reaching out half mile to a mile and farther. I mean, it's remarkable what they're shooting now. Back when I was in, 300, 400, 500, and 600-meter targets are what we had to qualify on. Once you were qualified, you could practice on the 800 and 1,000-meter target. And a lot of times, you wouldn't necessarily get a first round hit on those targets. And that's what your spotter was for. Your spotter would tell you so you could make the corrections and your second or third round would be on target.
Cool.
Yeah.
Now,
we have a 1 mile range here, Alan, in Ohio. Down in southern Ohio, there's a 1 mile range. I believe there's one in western Ohio, too.
Cool. Well, this is sniper school tonight, guys. I got a question to ask you. So the wind, the rain, the elements makes a big difference about the shot, correctly? Correct?
Correct. All of those things, you know, affect.
Okay.
You know,
well, you got to remember there's people out there in La La Land and Radio Land that have no idea what we were talking about. And there's guys out there that know what we're talking about. We got to be educating people, Alan. And one more thing.
Sure.
Let me ask you a question. What's the longest shot that is recorded by a sniper on the books?
I don't remember off the top of my head. I mean, there's been a few in the last few years that are incredible.
Wasn't it that Canadian in Afghanistan?
There was a Canadian that did have an extremely long shot in Afghanistan, and I don't know if that's been beat yet or not. Sometimes it's hard
How long, guys? How far?
It was slightly over a mile, from what I understand.
No way.
It was over a mile.
You're telling me one shot, 1 mile, and it'll be a direct hit? That's crazy, man. That's crazy. But that's reality, though, right? It can be done. Wow.
And, you know,
you have a real interesting background, Alan.
Way back when, Carlos Hathcock had a shot that was somewhere around 2,500 yards. But what he did is, it wasn't with his sniper rifle. It was with a 50 cal that he took his scope off his sniper rifle and put it on that 50 cal and zeroed it in at the tree line that was out at 2,500 yards. And
AJ, how long is the football field?
100 yards.
100 yards. So you're saying, Alan, that someone has done 2,500 yards before?
Yeah. And that was Hathcock with that 50 cal, but there are longer shots now. There are longer shots now than that with some of the newer equipment that they have.
Well, I got another question to ask you because I'm ignorant, and plus I'm asking questions for people who are ignorant out there in la-la land or whatever. Okay, a sniper has one shot. There's no follow-through, or you don't really have a second shot, do you? It's one shot only?
Not always. It would depend on the mission, where your hide was. I mean, we were trained in the woods. You don't want, you know, you need to shoot and move and get out of there. From my understanding, you know, some of the guys over there in Iraq, Afghanistan, they will be doing multiple shots from where their hide is, depending on what the mission is and what they're doing.
Right. Stealth is definitely a part of what you guys do, because I remember the guys in the camps that I would do demos in. Those guys were very very quiet, but I could tell they were very dangerous too. So, okay, now this next part, Alan, I want to say a big shout out if they're listening to Carol Harrison, Travis Boggs, Jim Hartley, and my dear friend Mr. Jim Anderson, because if they're listening, big shout out, because they're going to spend the next few minutes talking about my hero, and one of my best friends that we lost a month ago. But you were asked by Mr. Robert Young, the editor of Blah Blah Magazine, to write your article on this man. We're talking about Mr. Jim Harrison. Now, how'd you meet Jim, Alan?
You know, it's just fortuitous that it was proximity, that I lived in Missoula, Montana, which is where he lived. And even though we both lived here, we didn't cross paths a lot. He was doing his thing. I was doing my thing. But when he was selected to be the Black Belt Magazine Self-Defense Instructor of the Year a number of years ago, Mr. Robert Young asked if I would interview him and do an article, but not let him know about the award and what it was for.
Cool.
And so, you know, I got to spend a couple days with him, and I also, you know, called up people, you know, like, Mr. Joe Lewis, Mr. Bill Superfoot Wallace, different people that, and talked to them about Mr. Harrison to put together the article that they did in the magazine at that time, which it was funny because Mr. Harrison said he liked my original article better than the edited version that made the magazine. But, you know, he was always just great to me. And you mentioned earlier, AJ, that, you know, you heard about him in the 1960s and how tough he was. You know,
right.
I wasn't there in this. I was born in 67, so I wasn't there in 66. But I can tell you, as an elderly martial artist, well up into his 70s, he was still extremely tough. No doubt about that. He was tough right up until the end. Extremely tough man.
Well, I'll tell you something. He changed my life, Alan. He really did. He influenced the Sport Car Museum from day one. And I'll tell you the reason why he liked you so much, whether you realize it or not. Four years ago, he put together with me Colonel Ike Slaughter, David Coase, golly bum, George Clark. I mean, these are all either Green Berets or Blackwater or colonels in the services. I mean, we honored 10 different guys that came under Mr. Harrison, and you know, it was amazing. And the neat thing about Mr. Harrison, he loved the military. He loved the idea of the military. He loved what you guys did, what you stood for. He didn't have he just loved you guys. So when you realize not, because when he found out you were a sniper, he respected you. And then I'm telling you something, for you to spend time with him and do what you did, I'm going to tell you something, you had to be something special. So God bless you. And you say you got to talk to Joe before he passed too? That's cool.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know his age 100%, but I remember him being in there, and like I said, I know he was in his 70s, kicking.
Well, Joe passed away.
And, Mr. Joe Lewis. Yeah, I mean,
yes, sir.
I was really fortunate to be able to talk with him about Mr. Harrison, and that was a telephone call. Here's one of the funny stories we'll tell you about Joe Lewis. When we're talking, he's like, have you talked to Bill Wallace yet? I said, no, sir, I haven't. He goes, well, let me give you his phone number. And he goes, here's what I want you to tell him. You tell him all he does is play golf and chase ugly women.
Eat hamburgers. Right, that's funny. Yeah.
He's a good golfer.
And it was funny, when I talked to Mr. Wallace, I told him what, Mr. Lewis had told me to tell him, and he said, what else is there than golf and ugly women?
And hamburgers and ice cream. But, my son was his caddy, so I understand about the golf thing. But, I tell you something that's really cool, is that Mr. Harrison, he was a center referee for, some of Bill's fights. And, we talked about this before, AJ. I'm a firm believer of the UFC. I like two guys getting in the center octagon, beating the crap out of each other. But what I don't like is people say that they're the pioneers and the founders of martial arts when you have people like Jim Harrison, rest in peace. They're not the founders of martial arts. People
right.
like Jim Harrison was. And Alan, I got to ask you a question. Now that he's gone, and now you realize that your story was allowed in Black Belt Magazine, which is read by, we'll say, thousands of people, which is probably many, many more, you realize how great a man he was? You realize that you were sitting in a room with someone really, really special to the world. I mean, you realize that now?
I do, and I respect his career, and that's why I was proud and happy to be able to write that article. His wife, Carol Harrison, just a really nice lady, and
sweetheart.
Something that I could write that could help her, about his legacy, that could help her with his passing. I'm happy to do that too, as well as his entire family, because his family was important to him. That was for sure. And so, if I could
Alan, you know I've got one of his black belts he used to wear that was handed down by June Ree and golly bum Mike Stone and J. Pat Burleson. And he presented it to me in Dallas, Texas. And I got to talk about his two two of his siblings, Tor Harrison and Sean. Did you get to meet either one of those two boys?
Yeah, I have met Tor before. I have not met Sean.
Cool. Well, Sean looks just like a young Jim Harrison. Okay, he looks identical, but what great kids they turn out to be. I mean, particularly, AJ, I got to tell you a story. Remember Troy, the guy that put on the Arnold Schwarzenegger event in Columbus, Ohio? Remember him?
Right.
Okay. He brought me in one year, him and Togi Hill. And Tor and Mr. Harrison was part of my show. And they were doing a movie called Black Salt. And the guy, the producer, came up to me or to Mr. Harrison and said, "You can't use a real knife in a demo." And he got to tell that kid, talking about my son, he can't scream during the performance of Black Salt. And Mr. Harrison walked up to the guy. Now, this guy's a big-time producer, big Hollywood, big-shot guy. Of course, Mr. Harrison didn't know that, and the guy didn't know who Mr. Harrison was. And he goes, "You know what? You you don't understand something. We don't use fake knives." And that young man talked about my son, Garrett. He looked at him and said, "He can scream as loud as he wants, meaning Ki-I, right?" So that night, Tor and Mr. Harrison, they do a live knife demonstration. I'm talking about, it was hairy. I mean, if one mistake was made, one of them would have been cut or hurt real bad. And my son Ki-I'd like a maniac. And that producer didn't say anything because Ms. Harrison kind of told him like it was. But that's one of my favorite stories about Tor, because Tor was being thrown around by Ms. Harrison, you know, his daddy, and they used a live knife, you know. Alan, let's talk a little about your martial arts a little bit. What type of martial arts do you do, and how long have you been doing it?
You know, I have been doing Hapkido since 96. So actually, I first started in 89 with Hapkido, took a break, because before 96, I just jumped around, because I was always moving. So I did Taekwondo, I did Karate, I did Judo, I did some Hapkido.
Wait a minute, Alan, listen. Did you just say Taekwondo?
I did a little bit of Taekwondo way back when.
No, I'm being sarcastic, AJ. You catch it?
I know.
Taekwondo,
yeah. Okay. Yeah. And you do Hapkido now. Did you ever meet my friend Bon Suhan?
You know, I got to meet and train with him once.
In
the early 2000s. I was in California. I went to his school. We talked for about an hour. And then he asked me to come back that Friday to the black belt class that he was teaching.
Wow.
And so I went back and got to train with his black belts. And that was a great experience because him and the Billy Jack movies were
That's what I wanted to say. Bon Suhan was the actual stunt double for Tom Laffin in the Billy Jack movies, particularly the first one, Billy Jack, when he's in the park. And you can tell it's Bon Suhan because if you look real close, Tom Laffin don't have slanted eyes. And
You know, Alan, when I was a teenager, my sister lived in Santa Monica. And when I went out there to visit her, I used to train at his school. It was right down the end of his street.
Yep,
so I got
right down
the
street.
To meet him and train with him a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, he was
very nice
fantastic.
Man.
Very fantastic martial artist and quite the gentleman. Very nice man. So it was an honor for me to get to meet and train with him just for that short time.
Well, Korean Hapkido was brought into America by people like Bon Suhan, but they use what they call not only the kicking technique, the punching, but they go through the momentum because of the board breaking. I know that what I've seen of Hapkido guys, they're really accurate about breaking things because they go through like Kyokushin, like we used to do. They have very good focus. But I'll say they do the cane, right? Do you work the cane?
The cane is my favorite of the Hop Keto weapons. I mean, I did a 2-DVD set with Paladin Press on cane instruction, you know, using the cane. So that actually is my favorite of the Hop Keto weapons.
Cool. Well, you got to know Mark Shuey then, right?
You know, I know him as, you know, not well. We've talked on the phone.
Okay, well, this is what you're going to do.
I have a few of the canes.
Alan, listen to me. Okay, you need to, when we get done with the show, okay, I know I'm being being pushy, but call Mark Shuey, befriend him on Facebook, and tell him that Professor Gary Lee made you do it, okay? Because Mark Shuey is my friend. And if you do the cane, and if you did a DVD set, and you worked for Paladin Press, which was, 30 decades ago, it was a long time ago, Mark, I appreciate it. Because, by the way, speaking of Mark Shuey, I actually got his cane in the movie The Coward. Now, AJ, you're in the movie The Coward, too, with Mark Stone, which is Alias, my student, Mr. Dean Pyles. Now, we've got Dan Severin, Ernest, and then Cat Miller. We've got Michael DePasquale, Kathy Sewell, Rob Buckman, Romel Gargoles, Ronald
Mark
George,
Shuey.
Brian George. I'm not done yet. Mark Shuey, AJ Perry. Let's see, Rob Buckman, Billy Newman, Bruce House, Alan Kelly. I mean, who did I forget?
Gary Lee.
I'm nobody, but still. The point is, Mark Stone, alias Dean Pyles, he is normally the co-host of this incredible show, but you've done a great job, and you're not going nowhere, by the way. When Dean comes back, you're also going to be the host of the show as long as you want to be, AJ, because I really
appreciate you so much.
Well, I did? I got Alan on the show tonight because I wanted, you know, he's a sniper. I wanted to make you feel at home because, you know, you and I, we put together great guys. Danny Lane, Danny McCall, Lonnie Walker, Duke Tershall, Colonel Steve Vitale, Colonel Craig Lightfoot, Colonel Phil Torres, I mean, Colonel Ike Slaughter, Jim Harrison, rest in peace. We put together these military guys for one reason, because if and when we decide to give somebody a military award from the Sport Karate Museum, I wanted people to feel they were appreciated. And let me tell you, Alan Bermeese, you're appreciated because I know you received a military award from the Sport Karate Museum. And I appreciate you so much, Alan. Now, if somebody wants to read some of your books or get your books, how will they be in touch with you or find out how to do it?
You know, they can find me at surviveanddefend.com. Also, reflexprotect.com. But all my books are at surviveanddefend.com.
Cool. Now, it wouldn't be fun unless I do the part of Gary Lee that most people know, and that's parts unknown. So I'm going to ask a hard part. I'm going to ask a question, Alan. Okay? Now, there's a lot of wannabes out there in the world. And whether they want to be ninjas or want to be 10th degree black belts or want to be God-given as a fighter, no pun intended, but still, there's a lot of wannabes. Have you ever come across any wannabes out there, people who claim to be something that they're not?
More than I care to admit. But, you know, I just try to let them do their thing and live in their fantasy world, and I'll try to stay grounded in reality and do what I do.
Right. Well, you know what, Alan and AJ, you know what I think it is? Back in the 70s, a few years back, people said things like, I can catch bullets, I can dodge bullets.
You just read my mind.
Listen, I can break bulletproof glass, I can elevate, I can fly, whatever. But, here's a big but, the internet became reality. And the internet is crazy too, but you can dig and find resources on the internet that you wouldn't find anyplace else. Don't you agree, Alan?
I agree. You can, and there are those that use the internet to fool people, and there's those that use the internet to educate and help people.
Right, and that's something I want to say. August the 7th, which is 2.5 weeks away, I'm going to have a Zoom with all the history generals. And, Alan, I want you to be on that Zoom with all of us. And the AJ and Dean and Eric Lee and Kelly Bum, a bunch of cool people. I mean, I'm not a name dropper. I know there's people out there that drop names. But, you know, there's so many people that have supported the Smoke County Museum. Not only military people, but the real people that helped create it in America. And what you did for Mr. Harrison, I want you to know, I'm just talking to you from the heart, buddy. Robert could have picked anybody and done anything, any article, but he chose yours. And he chose yours because it was efficient, accurate, and to the point. And he got Joe's opinion, Billy's opinion, and whoever your resources were. And, I mean, come on, those were the two of the world champions that we created in 1974. And Mr. Harrison was the mentor, not only for someone like myself, but the mentor for Bill Wallace, the mentor for Joe Lewis. I mean, I know that because both of them have told me that before. And, you know, I miss Mr. Lewis and I miss Mr. Harrison, but talking to you tonight, Alan, it really is special to me. It really is. And I appreciate you taking time and talking to an old karate
and
guy
like
me. Thank you.
And I appreciate that, too. And I'd love to tell one little quick story that I think you'll appreciate and your listeners will appreciate.
Yes.
So I'm a big I'm a big book person. I have a huge library, and I have a ton of books that are signed. And years ago, early 2000s, I was down in California, and Mr. Chuck Norris was going to be doing a book signing at a mall 2 miles from my sister's house where I was staying. So I'm like, hey, I'm going to go meet Chuck Norris and get a book signed. So my wife and I went down there, and we are standing in line with a bunch of people, and there's this gentleman standing off to the side of Mr. Norris, just observing. You know, you could tell he was with Mr. Norris and he was security, but, you know, nobody was paying him any mind. And I looked at my wife and said, you know who that is? And she's like, no. I go, that's Howard Jackson. And she's like,
wow,
who's that?
Yeah.
I was like, he is a great martial artist too. And I opened the book, and inside the book there's a bunch of pictures, and there are a couple pictures of Howard Jackson inside the Chuck Norris book.
Yeah,
so
Howard was the bodyguard for a couple of years. Yeah, you're right. That's
he was.
Cool.
That's what he was there for. And after I signed the book, I went up to Mr. Jackson and introduced myself, and I asked him to sign the picture inside the book of him. So my book is signed by both Chuck Norris and Howard Jackson, and Mr. Jackson and I talked about martial arts until the crowd was gone, so then I could have some more time to talk with Mr. Norris. And
well, let me tell you my favorite Howard Jackson story. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
And the cool thing was just a couple months ago in January at the SHOT Show in Las Vegas, I got to share that story with Mr. Norris and his wife. They were at the SHOT Show, and I got
Gina?
To remind
cool.
him that
yeah.
I had met him, and we got to talk about Howard Jackson and what a great fighter he was. So
let me tell you my best Howard Jackson story. Okay, it's a Star Bash, and they tore it down. It was in Las Vegas, big casino, and Howard and I are sitting in the lobby, and Tim Conway comes up with the Harvey Korman. They're two comedians. They're gone now, but do you remember them, AJ?
Yep.
Tim
oh,
Conway,
sure.
Harvey Korman.
Tim Conway was from Cleveland.
Okay, cool. Anyway, so Garrett, my son, is out there doing kata for Howard. And Howard grabs my sword and says, look, show me something. So I get up and I start doing my sword. Tim Conway comes up to me and goes, listen, you do something funny with that? And Howard stands up and says, oh, yeah, he does cucumbers and bananas. He'll cut a watermelon in his stomach if you let him. you know, you're just doing all this stuff. And I said, Howard, no, don't say that. Don't say that. Next thing I knew, Mr. Corman came up to me and asked me if the little black man and me would like to perform at his show. And I go, well, the little black man was Howard, of course. And I said, well, Howard can do something with me, but, you know, I don't know what we do. He said, well, you cut a banana on Tim Conway's stomach. I said, well, I'm sure that he does. He know about it? And Harvey goes, don't worry about it. I'll talk him into it. So what I did was with Howard, we went to the show, and then I got bananas, and I got Howard. I cut the banana on Howard's stomach, kicked Howard off the stage, and then I put the banana on Tim Conway, and I bit it instead of cutting it. And it was a big hit. But Howard was my friend, and I'm glad you got to tell that story because, you know, people don't realize that Howard, you know, hurt his knee, and he could have been up there with Joe and Billy and Jeff Smith to be the world champion in 74, but he was hurt, and I think the Isaiah DeWinnis took his place. But, yeah, Howard was a great fighter, and I'm so glad you shared that story, Alan, because, you know, that brings up some good memories for me. And, you know, Mr. Norris, Mr. Jackson, and other people, part of the history of America, and Mr. Harrison that you wrote about is the core, the seed that kind of planted it for all of us. Now, AJ, I've been all the talking, but I want to ask you a question. You got a question
sure.
to ask Alan about sniping and what he did before we get out the air?
Oh, he's got a great history. You know, you'll be real proud of that.
Yeah.
Really nice, great history.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
Well, thank you, guys. Well, thank you, Alan, for being on the show tonight. And for the listen, we'll try to put it on your page afterwards, but you can go to AMAA Radio on Google, and you can listen to the show tonight at any time for the next, well, it's there forever. So, Alan, I made you famous tonight, buddy.
No, thank you. I appreciate you having me on. It's been a pleasure.
Oh, it's been
great,
my pleasure.
Great getting to know you, Alan.
Too, AJ. Thank you.
Well, I'm sure we'll see each other on the 7th of August, okay?
Sounds good.
Cool. All right. Thank you. And mahalo, Alan. Now, AJ, before you go, let's talk about the coward a little bit. Now, you guys are going to Alabama to film here pretty soon or what?
Alexander City. And so
what are you going to be doing down there?
Well, they're doing it in like little segments. And then I played a chief of police. I actually got a pretty good part. I got like 65 lines. And it's been fun. It's been really fun working with the team. And everybody works great together. And we've been having a lot of fun.
Now, I'm going to plug my student a little bit. Dean Pyle, the Wolverine. We all call him the sheepdog now, but why don't we plug him a little bit? I know he's worked really, really, really hard on putting everybody together and then through this pandemic to keep everybody together and keep everybody focused. I mean, I talk to him every day. You know, he's got so much heart, so much passion for martial arts.
A lot of passion.
Yes. And you know what? When Joe let me adopt him, I knew that I had something very special because I'll say this on the air. You know, I wasn't the best competitor, okay? I was just scrappy, and I was very lucky that I was in the right place at the right time. But Dean Pyle, when he performs with the same tenacity that I did back in the 60s and 70s and 80s. Golly bum, I guess I haven't competed for 40 years. But anyway, Dean Pyles is one of these incredible martial artists that only doesn't just care. But now he's got a shot to be a movie star. So I'm real proud of him. So stay tuned to The Coward coming out, 2021 probably. And it stars Mark Stone and a slew of martial art favorite stars that a lot of you guys know about. Now, are you a mean sheriff, AJ? Are you a Butthole, are you a nice guy, Sheriff? Are you kind of like a Burt Reynolds type, Jackie Gleason type sheriff? What type of sheriff?
A little bit of
you?
A little hard ass, but he's got a little demented sense of humor too.
Yeah. Do you fight Mark Stone in the movie? Do you fight Dean?
No, I have to make an arrest Dan Severin and several others. And
hey, are you ready for this? You know, Danny, let me tell you something about Danny, the Beast, as he was known in the UFC. He was going to fight a fight in Houston, Texas, and I had to go do an errand, and my son was like 5 years old. Now, you know what a five-year-old kid is, right? And Danny could tell I was kind of stressed out a little bit. He goes, well, he can stay with me. I said, Danny, you're fighting in an hour. He says, I don't care. You can stay with me. So he babysitted my son before his fight in Houston. Now, tell me that isn't cool.
Yeah, it is. It is. You know, and just take the time to do that. For a lot of people, but I don't have time for that, you know?
Yeah. Well, he's a superstar. He really is. And, you know, people forget that Dan Severn not only won the UFC, but, you know, he destroyed people when he was with his wrestling. And he was called the Beast. He wouldn't call that for nothing.
He was a heck of a high school wrestler. You know, I wrestled in high school. And, you know, he was from the Detroit area, which isn't that far from Cleveland. But he was a heck of a high school wrestler.
Well, one more story about Danny. One night we had an event in Houston. He had his son with him, and it was like 12 o'clock. He says, Gary, I want to go to the museum. So I take him and his son to the museum, and we stay in the museum till 2 o'clock in the morning. Just me, Dan Severin, and his son. Now tell me that's not cool.
Oh, yeah. Spend that kind of time together.
Well,
and him wanting to spend that time to see the museum.
Next time you talk to him or say hi to him, you tell him I love him, because I do. Dan Severn's a good friend and great fighter, and he's going to be starting with Mark Stone, well, Dean Pyle, and The Coward coming out in 2021. Now, big shout out to the director, Lance Britt, and the executive producer, Mr. Philip Hyatt. God bless those guys and them having the vision to work with Dean. And, you know, I just wish The Coward is not only successful, but a great, great film for martial arts.
It's got a great script, well written.
Well, cool. Well, you know what? We've had a great show tonight with Alan Bermese and talking about Jim Harrison and, you know, Dean Pyles and what's going on. And, you know, I really appreciate you, AJ, you being on the air with me and helping me.
Have a great time with you.
Backing me up. And, you know, like I said, when Dean comes back, I don't want you to go nowhere. Me, you, and Dean. I tell you what, I got a good idea. When Dean comes back, you can be the referee between me and him, because, you know, we holler at each other quite a bit in love. But still, we always need a referee to keep us straight.
Who's
going to
be the referee for me when I start yelling at you guys?
Well, Dean will do it. I'm retired. I'm a retired guy. So, okay. Well, on behalf of the AMAA Radio Network, Masters and Pioneers, thank you so much. This is Professor Gary Lee and AJ Perry signing off. Till we see you next week. As I always say to you guys, and I mean it from the heart, mahalo and aloha.
Have a great night.
Yes, sir.